Before we get started, good morning, everyone. I just want to remind you that please silence your mobile devices. We're going to get this meeting going. It is February 21, 10:02 a.m. Quorum is present. We're going to call this meeting to order. You can all join me in the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands.
Right, moving on to item number three, this discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the agenda for February 21, 2023. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about today's agenda?
No questions, thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right, is there a public comment regarding today's agenda and the items on it?
It's good.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We just recommend per the sheriff at this point that we continue item number 20. That would be the item of the off C Street liquor license. They still have some work to do. Of course, that would also nullify number 19, which is to recess and convene as the liquor licensing board. We would like number 20 to be continued to the March 7, 2023 commission meeting here at the courthouse in Unzen.
Wonderful. Thank you. All right. One more time, is there any public comment regarding the agenda and the items on it? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's agenda with the one noted change of continuing item 20 to our March 7th meeting here at the county courthouse and the resulting elimination of item 19.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number four, this discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the minutes from January 17th, 2023. Mr. Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about the minutes for January 17th?
No questions, thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No.
All right, is there any public comment regarding the minutes for January 17th, 2023? Not seeing any public comment, but Sherman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, move to approve the minutes from our January 17th, 2023 meeting as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number five, this is today's consent agenda. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about today's consent agenda?
No questions, thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, I have no questions. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number six is public comment. Public comment will be allowed at the beginning and end of each meeting. This comment should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment will be allowed after each item on the agenda, and these comments should be limited to the agendized topic. With that said, is there any public comment today? Not seeing any public comment. We're going to move on to item number seven. This is discussion only. No action, no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. Start off with the sheriff's office.
Nothing today, thank you.
All right, thank you. Moving right along to the fire district.
As well, nothing for real estate.
All right, fair enough. How about public works?
Morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Jason Worsbicky for the record. Just want to report we're getting ready for this next incoming rounds of storms. And we've been chasing some water main issues on the other side of 342 from Toll Road and quite an interesting sewer issue down through the Gold Hill for the last week and a half, almost 2 weeks. That's all I have to report at this time.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jason?
Just wow. He's got his hands full.
Indeed. And Sherman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jason. To you and your team, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
All right. Up next, Projects Coordinator, Mike Northern. All right. How about Story County Communications? Becky Parsons. All right, we'll move along to Business Development Director Laura Mather.
Good morning, Honey Menifee for Laura Mather. She's attending a transportation meeting at the moment, so she's unable to be here, but she wanted to share that she was able to attend the NACO Legislative Conference in Washington, D.C. with Commissioner Mitchell last week, and it was a good opportunity. She was able to meet with the senator's staff and be able to start discussing next year's appropriations. Mm-hmm. So the appropriations are already in the works for 2024. So it was a good time for her to be able to meet with this staff personally and just share the needs of the county and what we plan to submit for next year.
Wonderful. Thank
you. That is the end of her report.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Honey?
No questions. Thank you, Honey.
All right. I assume you don't have any questions since you were there in person. Thank you for going. All right. We'll move along to Community Relations. Honey Menifee?
I have nothing to report. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you for covering for Laura. Emergency Management, Mike Bullion.
Yes, good morning. The only thing I have right now is I'm working on updating our emergency plans, the emergency operation plan, and our evacuation plans and mass care plans. Just had a phone meeting with a company called Zone Haven. And I will probably be bringing that up to you later on when I get some more information from them. But it's a way to evacuate people through the use of social media and other platforms like that. It's very interesting and not really that expensive. And that is all.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mike?
No, thank you, Mike.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that report, Mike. The VCTC, we are in the presence of our new director. Do you have anything for us today, Todd?
Nothing today. Just want to say hello and looking forward to meeting everyone.
Wonderful. Thank you. How about the comptroller's office?
She did not have one today.
Okay. How about the assessor's office?
Good morning, Chairman and everyone else. This is Janice Seddon, Story County Assessor. I apologize. I had some issues getting on and hearing this morning. So one thing that we are working on is trying to clear up a lot of our uncollectible, unsecured bills. You've probably noticed that we have some corrections that were already on the agenda today. We have a lot of other things that we are working with the DA to try to either figure out what happened to see if any of these, a lot of the other items are collectible. They are companies that basically disappeared during COVID and some other stuff. But I just want to let you know I talked about this probably about 4 or 5 months ago, trying to get this, a lot of stuff cleaned up, and we are in the process. And we are working with the DA on that. And I just wanted to kind of let you know where we were, and we're moving forward. And you're probably going to start seeing some more of these corrections that we're going to ask for uncollectible, unsecured properties. But other than that, that's all I have today.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jenna, for that report. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jenna?
No, thank you, Jenna.
All right. Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Let's move on to the recorder's office.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. I have nothing to report today.
Well, thank you, Drew. Moving right along to the IT department.
Good morning, morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. We just completed upgrading all of our firewalls and all of our data centers this past week. So back up to a 10-year next-gen long-term platform. Happy about that. And I've received quotes back from Switch on our fiber lines, and we're going to be moving over to them on everything because they're going to save us about 30% on all of our AT&T managed fiber lines. Wonderful. So we'll have better support and cheaper pricing. And that's all I have to report.
Can't beat that.
Yeah, right.
Mr. Gilman, do you have any questions for James?
Love saving money. Thank you.
Yep, indeed. Vice Chairman Mitchell.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that wonderful update, James. All great news. How about human resources?
Good morning, gentlemen and ladies. HR has nothing to report this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Mitzi. Moving on to community development, Pete Renaud.
I think Pete said he was going to be committed this morning.
Okay. How about community chest? We have Eric Schoen with us.
Let's see here.
All right. Senior Center. No Stacy? All right. You don't see Judge Harris on there, do you?
No.
Okay. I know the DA's here.
Yes.
Do you have anything for us today?
Not today, Mr. Chairman.
Wonderful. Thank you. All right, we're going to skip my list here. We're going to have Nora from the 4th Ward School.
Good morning, dear Commissioners. Nora Stephan for the 4th Ward School. For the record, a few updates regarding the building. Thanks to Story County County's 2022 nonprofit support grant, the museum and the museum donors, we were able to install electrical heaters to the front desk, first floor, entry, and basement. We will hope in the near future to install more heaters and ceiling fans in the museum exhibits, which makes it possible for the museum to stay open longer from its regular season and be comfortable for guests and staff. The museum has had a great season as we extended the open season until the end of December. We are aiming to open the museum in April, which is a month earlier than our traditional opening May till October 31st. On December 27th, Story County experienced a heavy rain, and that contributed to interior water leak at the museum. The heavy rain damaged a small section of the roof membrane. The museum staff acted quickly, and Raymond Brothers helped and secured the leak and patched it temporarily with the membrane at the membrane rib. We have taken all the appropriate measures, contacted the county manager and the county's insurance, and they documented everything in a thorough report, which we have submitted to Story County. So let's see. Overall, the museum is in a great conditions, and we were very lucky that we didn't have any damages except the water moisture on some of the walls. Everything is under control, and it's going through. We're going all through the steps to fix the membrane in the roof. Last week, we consulted with Terrence Tobby, a structural engineer with Lumos. As the weather permitted and the ice had melted, we were able to go on the roof and evaluate the roof damage. Lumos is in the process of writing a structural report, which will be submitted to the county's insurance. We will proceed from there accordingly. Some other notes. The building's renovation is going well. Raymond Brothers continues working on the exterior renovation when the weather permits. I mean, they were working until yesterday. So, furthermore, we are excited to share the story of 150 years of Virginia City Water Company in a new exhibit set to open in the spring. And all of our upcoming events have been posted on our website. Our first event of the season is our Victorian Tea Party, which will be the Saturday of Mother's Day weekend. And we're doing a lot more things, but I will tell you in the next meeting. So thank you so much. If you have any questions.
Wonderful. Thank you, Nora. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Nora?
No questions. Thank you, Nora.
Thank you, sir.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No questions. Thank you for the update.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Have a great day. All right, back on to regularly scheduled programming. County Manager, what do you have for us?
I have nothing today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Another trigger. Hindle?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jim Hindle, Clerk Treasurer, Story County. I just wanted to bring a couple of things to everybody's attention. Number one, the Board of Equalization will be meeting here tomorrow at 10 a.m. That packet is on the website under agendas. Public is welcome. And just wanted to bring that to everybody's attention. Secondly, just want to remind people that the fourth installment on property taxes is due March 6th. We're coming up to that. We are already seeing a flurry of activity. Payments coming in. Thank you for the public for that. And if there are any questions or issues, the public can call the clerk's office and we'll help with whatever we can, but that's coming due. And then lastly, just wanted to highlight that with the flurry of activity down in Carson City, as our native son, Mark Twain said, no man's liberty, property, or life is safe when the legislature is in session. We have a number of bills that will have direct or could have direct impact on the clerk treasurer's office that we're watching, working with the Walkers, working with the Secretary of State. A couple that I want to highlight are AB 95, which would require all candidates, regardless of party, to submit petitions with a minimum number of signatures in order to be on the ballot for the primary. That would have a significant amount of work increase on the clerk's office because the number of petitions that would come in, having to verify all signatures right after the presidential primary, which is going to be happening in the fourth quarter through January, February this year and into the beginning of next year. And then the other thing would be that, you know, that's part of candidate filing and getting ready for the primary. So we're watching that one closely. We'll see. Things are still early. They've got to move through committee, but that one could have significant impact. Another one that I want to highlight is SB 162, which would put polling places in the jail. There's some issues with this in terms of the ability for public observation in a secure facility and or the movement of people awaiting trial out of security into a non-secure area in order to go through and facilitate their ballots. Personally, what our argument is that with mail ballots, it seems to be a bit of a suboptimal resource use to put a polling place with machines, personnel, et cetera, in the jails. But those are two I wanted to highlight because they would have a significant impact among some others, but clearly on the clerk's office and how we're going forward. So we'll keep watch on those and let you know how things go.
Thank you very much for that. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for our co-treasurer?
No, thank you very much, sir.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, although I was just going to observe that we must be a very progressive county because we already vote for jail. So
wonderful. Thank you for that report. All right, that concludes our staff reports for today. Thank you, everybody, for your updates. We're going to get back to the agenda. Item number 8 is board comment. I'm going to start off with Commissioner Gilman.
Nothing today. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell.
Just a quick report. I was able to go to the NACO conference in Washington, D.C., along with Laura. I feel like we got some good work done there. We had an opportunity to speak with congressional staff from both of our U.S. senators' offices and our congressmen. We discussed some of our needs as far as lands bills go, as far as zip code issues, and as far as just appropriations and projects that are on the horizon that, that may fit into some category that they're looking to fund. And then I also was able to have some really productive meetings with actually commissioners from some of our neighboring counties, and felt like we made some good contacts, had some good discussions about regional cooperation. So it was a good time. It was a lot of work, but happy to be back in the land of normal on Main Street as opposed to Washington, D.C.
Wonderful. Thank you for that update. And I do want to say thank you. I know you're a busy man, taking time off to go back east to deal with that.
Absolutely.
Much appreciated. I don't have much today, but it is a bit of a somber, on a somber note, I should say. Virginia City lost two residents this week. First one is Keith Barrow. Most folks that are around town on the boardwalk know him. He does leave his wife behind. And the other loss we had is Stephanie Collins, the owner of the Silver Dollar Saloon. She passed away as well this week. I hate sharing this news, but I think it's important that we do at least recognize the residents that do end up leaving Story County. That's all I have today. That'll bring us to item number 9, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval to submit the United States Department of Agriculture grant application for the Virginia City Fire Station 71 rebuild project. The estimated project is total is $6 million. The federal grant award is $3,750,000, with the county match estimated at $2,250,000 and not to exceed $2,255,000.
Honey? Honey Menifee for the record. This Virginia City Fire Station 71 rebuild project is one of the federal 2023 appropriation request awards that we have received. The funding agency managing the project is the USDA, and the award amount of $3,750,000 has already been obligated for this project. This application is just necessary to receive the funding.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about this item?
No questions. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I do not.
All right. Neither do I. So we'll go to the public. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Sure. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the submittal of the United States Department of Agriculture grant application for Virginia City Fire Station 71 rebuild project. The estimated project total is $6 million. The federal grant award is $3.75 million, with the county match estimated to be $2.25 million and not to exceed $2,255,000.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for your work and the chief's work on this. Look forward to seeing that happen. Item number 10, discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval to authorize county staff to pursue potential land acquisition to facilitate the construction of Fire Station 71 in Virginia City. Honey.
Honey Menifee for the record. Again, the Virginia City Fire Station 71 rebuild project has received $3,750,000 in funding through a congressionally directed spending grant. Additional land may be necessary to facilitate this new construction. North of Fire Station 71 is a vacant lot that, if purchased, would allow for new construction to commence without disrupting fire district operations out of the existing Station 71. And if you have questions, Chief Longcar is here to help answer those.
Wonderful. Thank you, Honey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for the Chief or for Honey?
No, thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
My only question has to do with process. Assuming that the investigation is undertaken and acquisition, that's something that comes back to us to approve at some point.
So if this is passed. All that's going to have to happen on our end is the environmental reporting will change from the current lot to the proposed lot. So the only thing that will really affect the grant workings of this is the environmental review.
Okay.
And along with that, I mean, and I'm sorry for interrupting, but prior to purchasing, the phase one assessment would need to be done, completed anyway. And that would go towards being the environmental review that the USDA would accept. So prior to purchase, it's best practice for the county to complete the phase one, essentially brownfield assessments.
Okay. And if an acquisition was to occur, is that something that the cost would be rolled into the grant or be part of the broader project? Is that something we need to budget for? Just trying to understand what the implications are.
Commissioner Jeremy Longcore, for the record, just going to jump in that yes, once we determine that, hey, it's a viable option, it's something we do need, would be brought back to the board, which will explore different financing options, whether that's going to be rolled into the total amount or just something that's separate from that. But we'll bring that back to the board.
Great. Thank you. Those are all my questions.
All right. Great questions, Mr. Chairman. I don't have any further questions, so we'll see if there's anything from the public. Is there any public comment on this item? Great. Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, if you're going to entertain a motion.
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve county staff to pursue potential land acquisition to facilitate the construction of Fire Station 71 in Virginia City.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving right along to item number 11. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval to authorize county staff to proceed with the request for qualification process to select an architectural firm and obtain an environmental report in compliance with the United States Department of Agriculture's requirement for Virginia City Fire Station 71 rebuild funded in part by a congressionally directed spending grant. Honey.
Honey Menefee, for the record. Fire Station 71 in Virginia City has received funding through a congressionally directed spending grant and is subject to the rules defined by the United States Department of Agriculture. The notice of intent to solicit statements of qualifications for the preparation of an environmental report and a preliminary architectural report is part of the application documentation that is required by the USDA. The fire district has already received approval by the Story County Fire Commission Board for posting this RFQ for this project. However, as the funding is awarded to Story County and not the fire district, the Story County Board of County Commissioners is asked to approve this RFQ on the county's behalf.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Honey about item number 11?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, I have no questions.
I don't have any questions either. We'll see if there's any for the public. Is there any public comment regarding item number 11? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve and authorize county staff to proceed with the request for qualifications process to select an architectural firm and obtain an environmental report in compliance with the United States Department of Agriculture requirements for the Virginia City Fire Station 71 rebuild funded in part by a congressionally directed spend grant.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number 12, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval to submit the United States Department of Agriculture grant application for the Fairgrounds Upgrade Project. The estimated project total is $820,000. The federal grant award is $615,000, with the county matched estimate to be $205,000 and not to exceed $210,000. Honey?
Honey Menefee, for the record. The Fairgrounds Upgrade Project is one of the federal 2023 appropriations request awards that we have received. The funding agency managing the project is the USDA, and the award amount of $615,000 has been obligated for this project. And this application is a necessary part to receive the funding.
All right. Thank you, honey. Commissioner, do you have any questions or comments about item number 12?
No questions. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. I don't have any either. Is there any public comment regarding item number 12? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. Hi, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the submittal of the United States Department of Agriculture grant application for the Fairgrounds Upgrade Project. The estimated project total is $820,000. The federal grant award is $615,000, with the county match estimated to be $205,000, not to exceed $210,000.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Item number 13, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval to authorize county staff to proceed with a request for qualification process to select an architectural firm to obtain an environmental report and a preliminary architectural report in compliance with the requirements of the United States Department of Agriculture to complete the application for the Virginia City Fairgrounds Upgrade Project.
Honey Menifee for the record. The Virginia City Fairgrounds has received funding through a congressionally directed spending grant and is subject to rules defined by the United States Department of Agriculture. The notice of intent to solicit statements of qualifications for the preparation of an environmental report and a preliminary architectural report is part of the application documentation that is required by the USDA. That is the end of my report.
Thank you, honey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about item number 13?
No, sir. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. I don't have any questions either. Is there any questions from the public on item number 13? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve and authorize county staff to proceed with a request for qualifications, RFQ process, to select an architectural firm to obtain an environmental report and a preliminary architectural report in compliance with the requirements of the United States Department of Agriculture to complete the application for the Virginia City Fairgrounds Upgrade Project.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 14, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval to submit the Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development Grant application for the Lockwood Senior Center project. The estimated project total is $5 million. The federal grant award is $2.5 million, with the county's match estimated to be $2.5 million and not to exceed $2,505,000.
Honey Menifee for the record. The Lockwood Senior Center project is one of the federal 2023 appropriations request awards that we have received. The funding agency managing this project is Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development. And the award amount of $2,500,000 has been obligated for this project. And this application is necessary to receive this funding. That's the end of this report.
Thank you, honey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions on item number 14?
I do not. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. Neither do I. Is there any public comment on item number 14? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the submittal of the United States. I think I'm on the right one, but I think the motion.
That is my mistake.
That's better, right? Would it be the Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development Grant application?
Correct.
All right.
My apologies.
No, it's quite all right. Let me start over. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the submittal of the Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development Grant application for the Lockwood Senior Center project. The estimated project total is $5 million. The federal grant award is $2.5 million. With the county match estimated to be $2.5 million and not to exceed $2,505,000.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, honey. That was a long stretch.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Moving on to item number 15 is to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board, bringing us to item number 16. Which is discussion for possible action, consideration of possible approval of a memorandum of understanding between the Story County Fire Protection District and Tesla to allow Tesla EMS personnel to provide advanced life support on the property of One Electric Avenue in McCarran, Nevada. Chief Longcar.
Hey, yes, Jeremy Longcar for the record. So this is just added as an MOU. They have in the past secured private companies to come in to assist them with EMS functions at their facility. Tesla's moving back into providing their own and getting rid of the private company. So this MOU ensures that we align our practices with them, just gives them earlier intervention at their facility because it is so large. So it's good for the employee, good for the company. And we just want to put in certain checks and balances that obviously they're not going to transport. We can share some of the patient information back and forth as far as training goes. And we hope to just work with them further just to make sure we're delivering the best service possible out there.
Wonderful. Commissioner Yeoman, do you have any questions for the chief on this?
I no questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. I'm going to ask maybe what is a silly question, but you feel pretty confident about this move?
I do. This has been in the making for quite some time. Uh-huh. With the previous company they had out there, obviously we had some growing pains. We learned a lot with them. And then there was a window where there was no services provided out there at all. And we could see some of the effects of that. It didn't really decrease our call volume. Our request for services were the same. It just allowed EMS personnel to get there quicker to start those interventions. So we've looked at this from all different angles to make sure that it is good for the district and Tesla. And we feel pretty confident about it. So we're presenting it here for your final approval.
Wonderful. All right. Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding item number 16? Not seeing any. Fire Commissioner Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the Memorandum of Understanding with the Story County Fire Protection District and Tesla EMS to allow for advanced life support by Tesla staff at One Electric Avenue in TRIC, McCarran, Nevada, and approve the fire chief to sign.
I'll second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number 17 is to recess to convene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board, bringing us to item number 18, which is for discussion and possible action, consideration and possible approval of a proposal from Sierra Controls LLC in an amount not to exceed $80,000. This project is needed for the controls integration of the blowers, controls, control valves, and reprogramming into the SCADA system. Jason.
Morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Jason Worsbecky for the record. As stated, that's exactly what this project will do. This project will give us even more full control over every process that the filters are going through, better alerting and alarming before we reach any potential issues, and this knowledge of where the processes are throughout the treatment process in the SCADA system as well.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Ms. Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the Public Works Director to sign the proposal from Sierra Controls in an amount not to exceed $80,000. For controls integration work at the water filtration plant.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Welcome. Moving on to item number 21 is to adjourn to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Bringing us to item number 22, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval for Story County to enter into a contract with JUB Engineers, Inc. for development of a flood hazard mitigation plan for Long Valley Creek. This contract is being funded with a grant from the State of Nevada Department of Emergency Management with a 25% match by Story County. Kathy.
Yes, thank you. So Kathy Canfield for the record. As it stated in that statement, we did receive a grant from the Department of Emergency Management with the state to do a planning study for Long Valley Creek. We did a request for qualifications, sent that out, and staff has interviewed, and we are recommending JUB Engineering be hired to do that study for us. Just a refresher of what the study is. Long Valley Creek is the major source for Lockwood for the flooding. That's mapped by FEMA for the floodplain for that area. We've looked at that and have identified some safety concerns with that. And so this plan will look at those safety issues that are out there, and we'll come up with some mitigation items that we could implement to make the area safer, and then ultimately hopefully help them, not only just with the design of what's out there, but then with insurance rates also that are constantly rising. The match itself, we have a requirement for a 25% match. We've been working with the Truckee River Flood Management Authority in their review of the Truckee River. And as part of their Truckee River things, they did do some study on Long Valley Creek to see what impact that would have to the Truckee River. So we're hoping we can use some of those study as matching money, but we've put our requirement that's been in the budget this last year and will be included in the next go round also. So, staff is recommending that we hire the JUB engineers. The contract's been reviewed not only by staff for the scope of work, but also Keith Loomis has looked this over, and Jennifer McCain for the budgeting items too.
Wonderful. Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Kathy?
No questions. Thank you, Kathy.
Mr. Chairman Mitchell?
I have no questions. Thank you.
All right. I don't have any questions either. See if there's any for the public. Is there any public comment on item number 22? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve entering into a contract with JUB Engineering, Inc. for the development of a flood hazard mitigation plan for Long Valley Creek.
I second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Kathy. Moving on to item number 23, this discussion for possible action. Discussion and possible approval of the Master Task Order Agreement for Professional Services Agreement. The need for the new agreement exists because Far West Engineering has merged with and become part of Dow. Dow will be the new contracting party. The agreement sets out the parameters to which subsequent specific task orders for separate engineering projects will be subject. DA Loomis, are you going to handle this? Not DA Loomis, DA Langer, sorry.
Well, my understanding is that, well, Keith and Awesome were working on it, so okay. He'll be able to describe this.
Wonderful, thank you.
Hello, Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record. Keith Loomis was the one that did put this together. But essentially what we're doing is just re-upping the master services agreement with Far West Engineering to reflect the new company they work under, which is Dow. They've been merged with that company, which is actually a pretty good thing because that the new company provides a lot more range of services that we're working with those folks, which are the same people working with us in providing services to the county. And so I think the job or the description here is pretty self-explanatory as to what's being done here.
Okay. I don't have anything else to add.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about item number 23?
No questions. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I have no questions.
Okay. I don't either. Let's see if there's any public comment on this item. Is there any public comment on item number 23? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the Master Task Order Agreement for professional services with Dowell and authorize the county manager to sign.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number 24, this is discussion for possible action. Discussion and possible action to approve Walmart settlement participation form. By this form, Story County releases any claims it may have in the ongoing opioid litigation proceedings against Walmart and its associated entities. If the settlement agreement is approved by 85% of the claimants or more, then the state of Nevada is expected to receive up to approximately $37 million. This amount will be allocated in part to counties within the state of Nevada.
Mark Kruger.
Okay.
So Mark Kruger, I'll just go on first.
No problem.
Ann Langer, Story County District Attorney. Mark Kruger from the AG's office is here to discuss it because he's actually been in charge of this program for the entire state. So he'll take it from here.
Thank you, DA.
Hi, thank you for having me. For the record, Mark Kruger. I'm a Chief Deputy Attorney General with the Nevada Attorney General's Office, Bureau of Consumer Protection. As Ms. Langer correctly stated, we've been the point of contact for settlement discussions through the One Nevada Agreement on Allocation of Opioid Recoveries, which this board approved now it seems like almost 2 years ago. The slight modification I have is that the actual amount that the state will receive is approximately $32,231,057.17. Of that, if everything goes through, Story County should receive $22,869.80. This is just another ongoing settlement that we've had and it requires the Exhibit K, which is pretty familiar. You guys have completed two of these for prior settlements with the distributors, with Johnson & Johnson and American Drug Stores. And the actual participation form just needs to be completed and sent back to me as long as you guys approve it. You technically under the agreement are required to, you know, use your due process to get this expedited. So if you have any questions, I can definitely answer them. The burning question you probably have right now is how much Story County has been receiving under these settlement agreements. I can tell you that it's approximately $221,645.75. That amount needs to be used for abatement. And abatement is a huge form of different topics of abatement that can be used. So I just wanted to present that and let you guys ask me any questions. I certainly can provide answers.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Kruger. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Mr. Kruger?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman Mitchell?
No, I have no questions either. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the Walmart settlement participation form and authorize the county manager to sign.
I'll second.
All right. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Kruger.
Thank you, everyone.
Moving on to item number 25, this is discussion of possible action. Possible acceptance of a proposal from Delta Fire Systems to replace the fire sprinkler riser valve in the VAT freight depot in an estimated amount of $8,700. To prevent false alarms due to pressure changes in the water main. Mike Northen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northen, Operations and Projects Coordinator. To give you a little background on here, we have had several occurrences of false alarms at the VNT Freight Depot. These are resulting from, as it says, pressure changes in the main. That's a dry system to prevent the system from freezing. The valve that separates the wet portion of the pipe from the dry portion of the pipe it's held in place by compressed air at an 8-to-1 ratio. It's very delicate balance. And when you have a surge in pressure in the main, it causes that valve to actuate, which does a couple of things. It sets off the fire alarm, and it also introduces water into the dry portion of the piping. And each of those occurrences comes with a cost. associated cost to get a company to reset the alarm and drain out the water that's in the dry section. So this is a proposal from Delta Fire Systems to replace the type of valve in the riser to prevent those occurrences going forward. And with that, I'll be happy to take any questions.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Mr. Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about this item?
I do not. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairman Mitchell.
I don't have any questions.
All right. Neither do I. Is there any public comment regarding item number 25 in the sprinkler system? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to accept the proposal from Delta Fire Systems to replace the fire sprinkler riser valve in the VNT Freight Depot for an estimated amount of $8,700.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Moving on to item number 26. This is discussion for possible action. Update, discussion, and provide direction to county staff and lobbyists regarding upcoming bills and legislation affecting Story County, including but not limited to the following and other properly related matters: AB 63, the I-80 safety corridors; SB 81, regional orderly growth; AB 143, land transfer bill; AB 47, OHV bill; SB 92, sidewalk vendors; and any legislative BDR bill resolutions or other actions of the legislator causing post-SB1 tax abatement revenues from the existing Tesla Gigafactory to be canceled, diverted away from Story County, postponed, or extended, and other bills as brought forth at the meeting. County Manager Osborne.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record. I want to remind you that there are other department heads and elected officials that are also monitoring bills that are respective to their needs. I would like them to also have a chance to be able to speak on anything that they need. So I'm going to cover really the ones that are listed here in the agenda. I'll start off with AB 63. This is Story County sponsors bill, the I-80 safety corridor bill. This one is the one that has the short-term resolutions and the long-term resolutions. The long-term, we understand the expenses, the cost, and probably the amount of time it will take to fulfill those, such as widening the interstate. And the short-term ones are things like speed limits and moving trucks to the right lane and better signage, stuff like that. The Nevada Department of Transportation has added a fiscal note to the bill. They are estimating that to do the short-term things will be in excess of $1 million. We do not agree with that. And we're going to work with some NDOT officials to try to get them to amend their fiscal note or possibly even go to hearing and discuss our disagreement with the fiscal note. We're simply asking for really just simple things like lowering the speed limit. So that process is going on now. This bill is scheduled for a tentative hearing next week. We don't know the exact date yet. We're working with some legislative leaders to see when that'll occur, and we'll let you know when that happens. And we do plan on going down to the legislature and testifying not only in favor of the bill, but also trying to make amendments to that fiscal note. At this point on this bill, our recommendation to this board is to direct staff and lobbyists to support our sponsored AB 63, to oppose the NDOT's fiscal notes as they are, and to begin building a coalition or continue building a coalition of folks to support the bill. So far, the city of Fernley has reached out to us. They would like to join in and be part of this and extend this safety corridor out to their parkway they have. And I know that there's been some conversations also with Reno, Sparks, and Washoe about participating in the positive elements of this bill. And that really is what this bill is about, is regional working together.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Austin?
I applaud our approach, and let's stay the course. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman Mitchell, anything?
I'm supportive of the recommendation. I think the fiscal note's a bit excessive, and I think getting that to something that's more realistic that would then give legislators a more accurate picture of what would actually be entailed with passing a bill like this. I do have a meeting scheduled later today to talk to some Washoe County commissioners to solicit their support for this bill as well. So
wonderful. I don't have any questions or comments at this time. Is there any public comment regarding this item, any bills we've talked about?
So do you want to do just one motion at the end of this particular item, addressing all the bills?
I believe that's how we have it set up, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Does that work?
So okay.
Can I just do that by reference to the conversation we've had?
Yes.
That work?
Yes.
Okay. Wonderful. So one more. Yes.
If you're going to go through the whole list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why don't go through the list and then I'll have a comment at the end.
Sounds great. Thank you, Lee. All right.
Okay, I'll go to the next one. This is Assembly Bill 143. This is sponsored by P.K. O'Neill, Assemblyman, on behalf of Story County. This is essentially just allowing us again to take that federal land that we received from the federal government and legally be able to transfer it over to local property owners. Our district attorney's office and Keith Loomis has been involved in trying to find nuances in the law that kind of creates some complication in that. So this bill will straighten that out, essentially allow the county to transfer that land to respective property owners in town. And then if anybody wishes to, they can opt out at the recorder's office. So far, this bill is getting momentum in the legislature. There does not appear to be any issues. And we have been educating the rural counties around the state with a one-page summary letter explaining to them how it doesn't affect them, just to make sure they're comfortable that it's not going to interfere with lands bills that they have currently. Our recommendation at this point is to proceed in supporting this and to continue educating and working with the legislative leadership as lobbyists and staff.
Great. Thank you. Commissioner Gibbon, do you have any questions about
no
this
question
item?
No question on this item. Thank you.
Okay. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No questions. I'm supportive of continuing the path we're on.
Agreed. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Austin, continue.
All right, thank you. The next bill is Assembly Bill 47. This is the off-highway vehicle bill. I have not been very involved in this one, but I know that the board is interested in it. And it's my understanding from this that the new language will provide clarification and a little bit more leeway for a county to provide a OHV vehicle highway or trail next to an existing paved highway. I certainly welcome any comments or anything to come at the meeting. I think Commissioner Mitchell might have a couple, and yeah, that's what I know at this point.
All right. Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything regarding AB 47?
I do not. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
So just two things. The first one is that I'm supportive of this bill for a couple of reasons. Number one is that it gives some local control over whether we want to establish OHV paths that accompany highways. And I think that's a good thing. We did receive some clarification just this morning, actually, because it was a bit unclear with the wording of the bill whether this was referencing making changes to the operation of OHV vehicles on highways or just paths that were next to adjacent to highways. And we received clarification from NACO, Nevada NACO, that the subject matter has nothing to do with operation of off-road vehicles on highways. That would not change, but the current limitation is 1.99 miles of travel, and that this bill does not address that in any way. It simply opens up the option for local jurisdictions to establish trails next to highways, whether they're paved or not.
All right, thank you. The only question I have is who put this bill forward, either Austin or Ms. Chairman, do you know?
I believe it's from NACO. I could be wrong. I don't know if they're floating it for someone. I don't know who they're floating it for, but I believe that it's originated with NACO. But
it's not a Story County bill.
Yeah, no, I didn't think so. All right. Is there any public comment regarding this OHV bill?
There is a recommendation at this point. Staff is just recommending we continue supporting the way this is going and continuing working with NACO and other leadership on wherever this bill may end up, if this board is fine with that.
Okay. Thank you. So again, is there any public comment regarding this OHV bill? Not seeing any. Austin, continue, please.
All right, thank you. The next one is Senate Bill 81. This is our big one. We've been working as an entire team on different approaches to addressing this bill. This would take right now what we have is Assembly Bill 240 that requires the county managers of Douglas, Carson, Washoe, Story, and Lyon County to meet And then we invite two cities in there, Reno and Sparks. They listen in while the county managers talk. And at the end of the year, the county managers produce a report about how we are working together on regional issues of significance, whether it's water, transportation, housing, you name it. We've been fine with that bill and that law since 2019 when it was enacted. But the sponsor of AB 240 now wants to create SB 81 that would take the same thing but add the cities, Reno, Sparks, Washoe, Fernley, and even Urington, to be voting members, and then also to add legislative leaders to the group to be voting members, and that those groups would then vote on whether or not the county manager's reports could leave the room and go to the legislature. We would be outnumbered in every case. Story County and even the other rural counties would not have their say in what happens here. And we believe very strongly that this bill will create the foundation for us to be pulled into a regional planning commission or for us to be pulled into some type of a revenue sharing type of scenario. Or if you remember legislation in the past that was proposed, including by Mr. Daly, to have some kind of nothing will get permitted in Story County without it going through Reno, Sparks, Washoe, some kind of a permit review process. And we've said on the record in the past that that will completely stifle economic development and growth, not only in Story County, but in the region. We're also aware that Lyon County and others are now being looked into this matter as well. So we've been very busy trying to stop this from happening. Commissioner Mitchell and I, as we know, did have a lunch with Mr. Daly earlier in the year. And he says, I want to add a couple folks to this room and have them listen in. And our response was, we're okay with that if they listen in. They're just there listening. The county managers write the reports. Nothing changes. A couple more ears in the room. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, he turned it in and made those voting members. And at this point, then we're not in support of SB 81 at all. And the senator that is sponsoring it has not accepted any of the recommendations that we've offered to have just sit and listen folks in the room. So we're asking a recommendation at this point that we strongly oppose this bill in this fashion. It is up for a tentative hearing next Monday. The time is still being determined, and at that point there'll be testimony provided. I will let you know myself, Mary Walker, Helen Foley, Will Adler, Sarah Adler, Clay and I, and other lobbyists in the area are working on this bill, and we're all working together. That also includes people in the background that are providing fiscal analyses. We're using the white paper. All of that stuff is being used to provide data necessary for us to make a valid argument that this is not necessary.
All right. Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Newman, do you have any questions about SB 81?
Just a comment. In my opinion, this bill is an absolute non-starter. My personal recommendation is we do not negotiate with this bill. It needs to be killed and go away. And my other suggestions are that it's been my experience that the public hearings are not generally where you find positive results and outcomes. It usually is handled in the back line negotiations between all interested parties and quiet closed door sessions. And my recommendation is that I know we are, and I highly recommend we continue in that direction, but not lend any credence whatsoever to the approval of this bill. And that would be my personal opinion. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you have anything?
There are a couple of elements to this bill that for me are particularly concerning. And one is the proposal that there's legislative representation, binding legislative representation on this study committee, meaning they would be part of determining what comes out of the committee that is not balanced. And what that means is what's proposed is just two legislators. One would be appointed by the majority leader in the Senate, and the other by the speaker in the assembly, assuming that they appoint legislators from their own party, that means that there would be no representation for the rural counties that are part of this region. Seems quite an overreach to not have anyone representing the other party or the other areas, it would basically mean that all of the legislators that would be participating would be from one county. And that doesn't seem like a very regional approach. The second thing that really concerns me is the overreach and the lack of respect for proper roles of government at different levels. Typically, regional planning is the province of counties. I think it's appropriate and well accepted to have cities have input, but it's not really their role to handle regional planning. And certainly, it's questionable whether the legislature should be directly involved in local issues when those things should be handled by the local jurisdictions. So those are the most concerning things to me. And I guess what I would ask for is some clarity among the board. Commissioner Gilman has made it clear that his preference is a complete opposition to the bill. And I just want to make sure that we are united in whether we're acceptable if they remove the elements that are that we don't agree with, if that's something that we can either come to neutral on or support on, or whether we feel strongly that the bill is not needed or damaging and we should oppose it entirely, regardless of if they're willing to make changes.
Thank you, Vice Chairman. Commissioner Gilman, before I speak, did you want to clarify your stance a little more?
Yes, sir. I'll make one additional point. So I have been involved in economic development and diversification in various communities for 47 years. It's been my life's pursuit, and certainly you all are aware of the successes we've enjoyed with the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center along those lines. If this community is going to allow themselves to move in this direction, they're going to effectively suffocate orderly and successful economic development and diversification. If something like this were implemented, we would not be enjoying the participation of a Tesla or a Switch or many, many of the other companies that have elected to come to Northern Nevada and more specifically Story County. Story County has evolved a process where we do not impact all of our development opportunities with red tape. We move very quickly to development agreements. We move very quickly to grading permits. We move very quickly to building permits. Counties are not concerned with speed to vertical. And in the competitive market that we are surrounded in today, all states, Western, Midwestern, Eastern, all states are competing for these opportunities for economic prosperity. If we are to impact those development opportunities with hearings and multiple community requests and controls and state controls, we're going to effectively stop the economic development diversification of Northern Nevada. As a matter of fact, I'll go farther and say that shame on our legislature and Skip Daly to even be having these conversations. There are major companies in the wings today that I am personally involved with that will look askance at what we're doing here and can effectively pull out of relocating to Northern Nevada under the scenario that our legislatures are considering. And so I am emphatic about the fact that we must stop this discussion and we must not consider enabling such an environment over our economic development industry. So that's as clear as I can make it, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
That was crystal clear, Commissioner Gilman. Thank you. I'm going to have to agree with you, I believe, 100%. I think that if we give an inch, they're going to take a mile. So I would have to side with you, Commissioner Gilman, that we take a pretty firm stance regarding this matter and try to to end this once and for all. With that said, is there any public comment?
Mr. Chairman?
I can't see you, Chris. Just kidding. You're good.
Well, he's giving me a hard time. Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Mitchell, Commissioner Gilman, Madam DA, Chris Thompson, Project Manager, TRI. You know, we all know the intent of these people and Skip Daly. They want a piece of the Tesla money. This committee, this regional committee, would provide them the vehicle to do so. And even if they send it in on a Trojan horse with agreeing with us on the makeup, that could be changed 2 years from now. And we know what their end is, and we shouldn't, in my view, not deal with them at all, not give them an opening whatsoever on this committee. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for your public comment, Chris. Is there any other public comment regarding this item, this bill? County Manager?
I have one more thing to add, Mr. Chairman, Austin Osborne. So I just want to remind us in this, we have put a tremendous amount of resources and time into creating the Story County Regional Economic and Building and Community Development Impacts Report, the white paper. Mm-hmm. And what that paper does is do exactly what's being discussed today, is talk about all of the things that Story County is and has been doing and working with the region, whether it's water, transportation, housing, mutual aid, fire district, sheriff, all things that you can imagine. And that was a discussion that happened 2 and 4 and even 6 years ago in other legislative sessions, is Story County needs to bring the data to the table to talk about what it's doing to contribute positively to the region. We have that now. It is done. It's complete. It's published. It is in the hands of our legislators. And I can't agree more with the conversation that's happening today, that there's nothing in that report that anybody could say Story County is not doing its part to contribute to the region, which is exactly what this legislation is trying to show. And so our recommendation at this point then would be, what I'm going to go ahead and defer to the board since there's a little bit of different feeling perhaps, but is absolutely to oppose Senate Bill 81.
Okay, thank you. What is next on the list? Senate Bill
91. I just have one more thing to say, and I think the will of the board is clear on this one. I think my natural inclination is to try to find common ground, right, and to see, is there a way we can make it work without it hurting us? But I think it's clear that that's not the case. There's a finding in this bill that I find a little bit troubling, and I just wanted to point it out. Mm-hmm. One of the findings in the bill states that because of the unique conditions in the region, a general law cannot be made applicable and necessitates this special act to require discussion and planning for the orderly management, blah, 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 in the region. And I just don't agree with that. I don't believe that there are not avenues for us to discuss and address the issues that we have. And so I think part of our opposition to this bill needs to be to continue to highlight the efforts we're making to work with the region, but then also to highlight new paths forward and to really provide the better alternative, which is direct engagement with our neighbors, that we are fully capable of handling the issues that arise between our jurisdictions, and that we don't need this kind of confusion in the middle of that, bringing in people who really don't have the proper authority to be involved in those discussions and decisions. So I just wanted to kind of put that on the record, that we're not just saying no, but we're saying there are better ways, and we will be engaged in those better ways of addressing the issues, that current law and structures are totally sufficient to address these kind of things. And we'll continue to reach out to our neighbors and make sure we handle them.
Okay, thank you. The sidewalk bill is next.
Okay.
SB 92.
Is that the one I had on here? I know what it is, but I didn't realize I had it listed.
Sidewalk vendors.
Okay, and I know that there's been a couple people in the room that may have been closer involved on that bill, and I ask, I won't point to anybody if they'd like to speak on it before I do, the sidewalk bill, and if not, that's okay. It's our understanding on the sidewalk bill that this causes pretty substantial issues on the boardwalk and pretty much deregulating what can occur as far as commerce on a sidewalk and a boardwalk. It's my understanding from our folks that it's not a good thing for Virginia City. It doesn't contribute to this community and creates a lot of issues that we spent years trying to mitigate. And at this point, then, I would ask our recommendation is that we oppose it the way it is. But at the moment, I certainly welcome any other conversation that wants to come up to this microphone on this.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about SB 92, the sidewalk vendors?
I do not, thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
My only question is, I just took a glance at the bill, and I'm certainly not an expert on it, but it appeared to me that the provisions of this bill would only apply the counties whose population is 100,000 or more. And as such, I don't think it applies to us, but that was just my preliminary read on the bill.
Commissioner Mitchell, you're absolutely right. In fact, Planning Director Kathy Canfield clarified that for me. And we would probably then recommend that we amend is if they were to change this to be below 100,000 and to apply to us, then that we would take an opposition to it at this point, that we would remain neutral. Thank you.
Great pointing that out.
Yeah, and I feel very comfortable with that position. I think we keep an eye on it. Neutral is the right place to be for now, and we watch and make sure there's no funny business.
Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. County Manager, Mr. is there anything Chairman? Else you wanted to talk about?
Mr. Chairman?
I think there's more.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. Thank you for taking my question. Regarding our conversation on the Skip Daily and the regional impact bill, I would reach out respectfully to my fellow commissioner, Mr. Mitchell, and please, I urge you not to give any opening during any of the interview processes anywhere that would indicate that Story County is willing to reach a compromise on this bill or this position. I believe that if that's the position that's taken, that it will signal pulling the trigger to damaging orderly economic diversification, development, and success, not only in Story County, but in the region. And so I plead with you, please don't take the position that you're willing to compromise or negotiate in this kind of a bill. And that's my personal opinion. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you for making that abundantly clear, Commissioner Gilman. I did mention that it seems quite clear what the will of the board is, and we'll make sure we hold to that tightly.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that very much.
Oh, you're welcome, Commissioner. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. The last one is not a bill at this point. It is discussions going on in Carson City that we're monitoring very closely and talking with folks to make sure it doesn't happen. We're aware that the Tesla abatements are set to expire at the end of 2024. There are people in the region that are also aware of that, and of course they would like to have some of it. At this point, there's no bill, so there's nothing in the legislature that's being proposed for this, but SB 81, for example, could be morphed easily to include something that the county would revenue share, or the county would be contributing, or something of that nature. And we're watching that very closely. That is one of the reasons we had written the white paper and explain the money that is going from Story County to the region in this. $63 million just out of the Gigafactory alone is being put into the Reno-Sparks Washoe area with nothing else. When you use the multiplier effect that GOED used in its report to justify that in 2018, it could come out as high as $157 million just in sales tax spending alone. That does include the increased assessed valuation in Reno-Sparks Washoe of its properties. It doesn't include for the homes they build, but they also build commercial and, you know, the Costco's and the grocery stores and the car dealers and those other things that are built that also bring in property tax to that region. And it doesn't account for everybody who buys their cars and their movies and their dinners out and their groceries and everything else, all that money being generated into the Reno-Sparks Washoe area. That white paper also talks about the fiscal obligations that Story County has that is not understood off the hill. that we have $48 million that we have paid or are going to pay into the TRI development for roads and infrastructure, that there's more money coming as companies come out that way, that there's a fluent pipeline tax increment area payment that needs to be paid back over time, that the courthouse we're in and the infrastructure we have and the water lines and the sewer lines and the roads are completely subpar and need to be amended and updated. I can go on, and the white paper does go on, and it gives very specific dollar amounts that are tied to those things. We've been just demonstrating this white paper and an executive summary of it, which is 4 pages long, as opposed to the 50-page paper, to explain this is the whole picture of what's going on in Story County. It is not what's being told, that Story County is bringing in $50 to $100 million, that they have a $75 million budget, that they don't have any infrastructure costs, that everything is just pulling money in and not putting any money back into its community. And the data paper that we have now is showing the actual numbers to create an argument explaining our side of the story. And we believe that that is getting traction, but it is going to be a long session in the legislature watching this and making sure that no bills or other types of actions come forth to try to take that Tesla money or any other money of Story County and put it into some kind of regional cause. I will let you know that we have an agenda item on today. I won't talk about too much because we're not on that item, but it's to get a financial consultant to help us at a higher level if any particular questions come about economic forecasting and impact reports. That will be discussed in the next agenda item. And then, of course, we also working with Helen Foley, the Adlers, the Walker Group, ourselves internally, as well as other lobbyists and folks in the region together on this effort. We have a lot of people looking out for us, a lot of people understanding where we are. And that goes all the way down as far as Clark County and every county in between. So at this point, the recommendation is that we continue to lobby and educate our leadership in the region about the reality using our data papers and with our fiscal consultants, taking those discussions to a higher level. We oppose, obviously, any type of actions that are to regionalize us, share the money, carve into us, and provide it to somewhere else, that we listen, and that we work with our finance officers in doing this together, and we continue to upgrade or update the board.
Thank you, Austin.
You're welcome.
Commissioner Gilman, is there anything you'd like to add to this item?
I don't. Austin, thank you. Well said. 100% support that.
Thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, we're good.
All right. I concur. You know, we've been promised that money, and I think we deserve that money. I don't need to tell anybody sitting here that Story County has things that we put by the wayside that need to get fixed. So that's my stance. I'll go to the public. Does anybody have any comments?
This issue?
If you want to talk about this issue?
No.
Okay.
Well, this is the end of it.
This is it, right? This is the last item.
Oh, okay.
So this would be your opportunity, unless you want public comment in general.
No, I can't. That's all right.
Sounds great, Lee.
This is a general comment. For my personal use, I am tracking a number of bills on Nellis. There is a new tool on Nellis. If you bring up the text of a bill, there is a place for public opinion comments. Mm-hmm. And you can be opposed for it or don't care. It also is a fairly large place to make a written comment. And for AB 63 and AB 143, when I made comments last night, there were no other comments on there. So I just want to encourage anybody who has comments. It doesn't take much effort to go out and make them now. You don't have to go through the hearing process and so on.
Wonderful. Would you mind just stating your full name for the record?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
For the record, Lee Sterrett.
Thank you, Lee. Appreciate that information.
We'll be glad to highlight that and distribute it to our community. Thank you very much for sharing that.
It's a great idea.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any other items. There may be others in the room that do. So I welcome a discussion about that. And then I do ask, are you comfortable with the way everything went so far? Or do you just want me to list the items that we talked about and just confirm that the board is comfortable with how I've heard the direction?
I'm pretty clear. Vice Chairman, do you feel confident that with a generalized motion, be all right, or do you want to?
I feel fine, but it probably wouldn't hurt just to have it summarized.
Okay. Commissioner Gilman, would you like it summarized as well?
That'd be fine. Thank you.
All right. Go ahead, County Manager.
All right. Assembly Bill 63, Story County I-80 bill to support it. Assembly Bill 143, the Lands Act transfer bill to support it. Assembly Bill 47, the OHV bill to support it, and that's it. Senate Bill 81 to oppose it in any form. And then Senate Bill 92 sidewalks to be neutral on it, unless that threshold of population would be to gone down in some way affect Story County. And then anything dealing with revenue sharing, regionalization, taking Tesla money, anything of that nature, to continue opposing and working with area leadership and counties, building coalition and doing the same.
Wonderful. Commissioner Gilman, that all sounds good to you?
It does. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Yep.
All right. Sounds great to me. One more time, we're going to make a call. Are there any other bills that need to be discussed or should be discussed? This is your opportunity to come up and talk about it. All right. Thank you for that detailed review. Vice Chairman Mitchell, if you feel comfortable, please entertain a motion.
I will make a motion. And I do also want to point out, we are still fairly early in the session. This is a recurring item that we'll revisit every meeting. And so as other bills hit our radar, we'll bring them up. And I hope I speak for the whole board that we would welcome, if there are particular bills of concern to members of the public, that they bring that to our attention and staff's attention so we can take a look at them. And same with staff and other elected officials. We want to make sure that we're keeping our eye on anything that might not have hit our radar yet. So
great point. Thank you.
All right. With that, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to direct county staff and lobbyists to represent Story County on the bills that we have discussed and to proceed according to the summary that the county manager just gave.
Second that motion.
So there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to item number 27, this discussion for possible action. Discussion and possible consideration of the board's position and draft letter responding to the Nevada Governor's Office of Economic Development requesting from Story County a letter of acknowledgement regarding Tesla Inc.'s application to the Governor's Office of Economic Development for sales and use tax abatement, modified business tax abatement, real and personal property tax abatement for their operations plan in Story County. The tax abatements are subject to GOAT's approval per NRS 360. County Manager?
All right, thank you, Mr. Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record. We're all aware that Tesla has submitted for another Senate Bill 1 abatement for a second gigafactory of one form or another. This will be a $3.5 billion investment under the GOED's thresholds for abatements. In this case, it's our understanding that it would cause the new gigafactory to receive abatements and that the old gigafactory or the existing one would continue until the end of 2024, and at that point it would be non-abated and would be paying taxes. At this point, there is an application submitted by Tesla to the Governor's Office of Economic Development that is in review at this point. They are developing a fiscal report that will look similar to the 2014 fiscal report that was produced for Tesla back then. But at this time, it's unfortunate that the way the system is developed, everything is non-disclosure agreement and nothing can be shared with us. We have expressed our concerns with that to the Governor's Office of Economic Development, as well as other offices, and we have been communicating with Tesla. Tesla has been very forthcoming and open with what it has available to it, but other groups, including GOED and EDON, are not. There is communication going that they are trying to come up with something they'll be able to share with us beforehand. But at this point, we don't have that in process in hand. The process of what would happen here is Tesla submits his application for the abatement to GoEd. And then they're asking Story County to acknowledge that the company has and that it doesn't ask for support. It says acknowledge that it is a receipt of the letter showing that the company is applying for these abatements. That's the letter that you have in front of you now. At that point, then on March 2, GoEd will hold a hearing and they'll consider whether to approve the application or not. And then after that, the Board of County Commissioners, to our understanding, will then hear this item to create an economic development diversification district, which would be the second gigafactory, a portion of the existing property. And that at that point, it would be an approval of something actually happening. And then it would go back to GoEd to build a contract, and that there would be a government services agreement involved in that step by which Tesla would offset any costs that the county incurs into responding to the Gigafactory's needs, such as that exists right now. So at this point, this is not an approval of anything. It's a letter supporting. But what it also says, really to the direction of GoEd and the governor's office, is we support it. We think it's a fine idea, but it's subject on the existing Gigafactory paying taxes to Story County, because Story County will need those taxes in order to respond to Gigafactory 2. Don't mess with the existing. Don't try to come up with something that would blend that or otherwise alter what has already been told to the county in 2014 would occur. And that's a very important element, I believe, to that letter. And at this point, I have an amended letter in front of you. There was a couple adjustments made. There is a copy in the back of the room. There's also one uploaded to the website for those folks on Zoom. And I can just read to you the changes that were made in the letter, if you would like, when you're ready. I do want to point out that this letter recognizes, and so does the white paper, that $10 to $15 million may be generated to Story County from the existing Gigafactory, and that $65 million is being generated by the existing one currently to Washoe County in the region through indirect output of sales tax, and that there's $150 million in capital improvements that are needed in this county over 5 years, $600 million over 10 years. Those are outlined in a board-approved capital improvement plan, and that there's $48 million, roughly 32 left, in payment back to Tri-Center for Infrastructure. And as new companies come on, then that number will change over time. So I have an amended letter again, and the recommendation at this point is to approve the letter as written, and there is a motion prepared for you. And I'll read those amendments to you when you're ready.
Thank you, County Manager. Commissioner Yeoman, do you have any questions or comments?
I have a comment, and this is a sidebar, if you will, and maybe an issue for our attorneys to consider. But I'm curious, the original building, the original facility that received the abatements was on a parcel of property, was in a building that contemplated being constructed incrementally, both in stories, 1 to 2 stories, and within the end building envelope. And I'm just curious why they can take an incremental part of that building that was contemplated under the original abatements and create a second abatement concept after the fact. And so I may have no basis in understanding whatsoever, but this 5 million square feet being added was a part of the envelope of approval with the original abatement. And I'm just curious on the legal ramifications surrounding that. Otherwise, that's my only comment.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Do you want to chime in, or do you?
I'll be limited on this, Mr. Chairman. There is time for us to engage in that discussion. So even with this letter here, to talk about that, And I believe that under non-disclosure, that there can be a conversation involving folks to be able to figure things out. I can tell you the conversations are thorough and figure out how do you do this? How do you create another factory inside an existing zone? And there's been a lot of assistance we're getting in addressing that.
Okay. Does that work?
Right. I'm sure not going to be talking about that today. But yes, it is being discussed. It is being discussed. These are all valid points. The DA's office is involved as part of the team to provide legal assistance in what's been going on to date.
Wonderful. Thank you. Is that sufficient, Commissioner Gilman?
It does. Thank you.
All right. Wonderful. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
I have a couple thoughts. And they're not specific to the letter itself. I'm fine with the content of the letter. I'm fine go ahead and approving that acknowledgement. As I understand it, the way that the legislation was written for these abatements, our approval is not necessary. It is just an acknowledgement that is required, or that they're required to inform us that they're happening, and they look for an acknowledgement on that. I have two concerns with us going ahead and approving this letter. And it's a little more big picture. It's a little more chess, right? It's the first one is asking us to acknowledge basically the only step that we have to control or have any sort of input at a stage where we are not involved in the conversations, not privy to all of the discussions that are happening. And as I understand it, that's by practice, not by statute. There's really no statute that says who should be at the table when these abatements are being worked out. That's just whatever the offices decide to, however they decide to do that. I find it a little bit disrespectful that our county manager is not even privy to the details of those conversations. And I don't mean that to be any sort of attack against Tesla. They've been a great partner for us and been very open with us. But at the state level, it feels like there's very little openness, even to the point where if we want to be part of the conversation at the GOED board meeting where they're going to approve these things, it is at public comment at the beginning of the meeting and not even on the agenda item to be considered. I mean, it's hard to not feel like Rodney Dangerfield, right? Like we just can't get no respect.
Right.
That being said, the bigger issue for me is this. While there are discussions or rumors of redistributing the tax dollars that we are supposed to get at the end of the first abatements, while that's in play or in discussion, it feels very squishy to me for us to sign off on new abatements not having any idea what the outcome of all that maneuvering is going to be. And to me, if we acknowledge these new abatements, we give up whatever leverage we have. But secondly, we potentially put ourselves in a really tight spot if the state comes in and does something that I believe is wrong, but we may not have the resources that we are counting on to do the things that we need. And so when you combine those two together, that we're not at the table in the discussion of the new abatements, combined with the fact that there's conversation about taking away or changing the deal for the last abatements, it's really hard for me to approve anything. And it just, it makes me want to just step back and say, I'm really sorry, but without information, we can't do a thing. We can't do a thing. You know, supposedly the information for the meeting is supposed to come out 3 days before the meeting. 3 days is not an acceptable time frame to do any sort of adequate review and analysis on the impacts of the decisions that are made. So that's my hesitation. I don't see anything wrong with the letter at all. I don't see anything wrong with acknowledging the letter. But if that's the only concrete piece of input we have into these new abatements, approving it now gives up that opportunity that we have to have any sort of input, any sort of actual say into what happens. And I just don't know if I'm comfortable with that from the perspective of making sure that our citizens are represented. So that's where I'm at. I'm kind of on the fence.
No, I mean, you bring up some excellent points, Mr. Chairman, and it's been discussed previously that we aren't involved in the process. So I guess what I would ask is there any, and I'll go back to Commissioner Gilman in a second, is there, or are we going to lose out if we don't provide this letter?
Mr. Chairman, you're looking at me. It's my understanding, and we have worked with Keith and others to make sure we understand the process here. And the process, as they're moving forward, it appears that there will be, after this letter, I talked about a little bit earlier, after this letter, then Goyle will take action if they accept it. Then it'll move forward to the Board of County Commissioners to approve an Economic Development Diversification District. That will create the approval of the next gigafactory abatements and where they are to occur. So we believe that there is another step in this process. I do say we believe because there's different ways this is being looked at, and we're not 100% sure ourselves, nor do we know that everybody is 100% sure exactly how they're going to do this. If that development district is approved, then this board will be taking action. If something else were to occur, and I don't know what that might be, it may be nothing, then that may not be the case. So I'm not alluding that that is the case, but I want to be forthcoming with you that there are some concerns here in the process that is occurring at the state level for this to occur.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any other additional comments you'd like to make?
Yeah, I'm I'm formulating comments. It, and in my opinion, would be a mistake to draw a line in the sand and take our football and go home. There are significant opportunities for Story County other than just the tax abatements. They're ongoing. Advantages during construction, their advantages during permitting. There are so many others. So my general feeling is we would be remiss to draw a line in the sand and say, we're going to walk away with this if we don't get our way. that being said, it's in the face of a complete unknown that they have delivered to us. And so I certainly agree with Commissioner Mitchell on that score. I'm offended that they would treat the host county in that way in the state of Nevada. So I certainly would continue the good fight, and I would certainly continue the negotiation structure, but I wouldn't advocate drawing a line in the sand. So I hope that's helpful, at least from my position.
And just to clarify, the line in the sand would be to not to provide the letter.
Correct.
Correct.
So first of all, the very first process, let me get up here with you. All those things, if you want to write that in your letter, because the application process for the abatements comes from the state. And that started in 2014 with SB1. So that is the process that it starts out with. So the first thing they talk about in the process is the fact that they need to get a letter, which is an odd one, that this is a letter of acknowledgement that you know that this process is starting, and it's a state process. And I think all of the things that you're saying, if you would like to include that in the letter saying we know it's a process, we understand it because we've gone through this process before in 2014. However, we don't agree with the process, with how the host county is treated, in the sense that we don't have a seat at the table when we are the ones that are going to be affected by the district. One of the things that comes into play, as you all know, that we did with the SB, we have talked about the abatements and what's going to go on with the abatements and what we've thought are going to be the abatements from 2014, which now that they're coming due, there's a lot of people out there that it wasn't anticipated in 2014 that it wouldn't go to anybody but the county. But with all these new things that we've found and how the legislature comes into effect every 2 years and things change, and I think Jim had a statement today about what Mark Twain said, the minute the legislature comes into effect, you never know what's going to happen. But on this particular statement, the way that we handled it in part last time is that we had the government service agreement, which is part of our process that the county has to deflect during the abatement process. So that's always something that's part of it. But this letter, and correct me where I'm wrong, because Keith, we've all discussed it, but this is a letter of acknowledgement on the process that we're allowed to read the letter in, that you'll be able to see where they're coming from on the process. But then it goes to the next stage of creating the diversification district, correct? Yeah, yes. I mean, meaning that's what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Commissioners, Austin Osborne, I do believe I explained earlier my confidence in the process of whether this board will hear it or not.
Okay. Right. So that's, if you want to change your letter, that's something you can do. But at this point, this is the first process that in the statute is part of a requirement. But I don't know what are they going to do if you don't do it, you know?
Right. Right. The statute seems to require they send the letter.
Yes.
Us acknowledging it.
Right.
I'm sure they'd like to have that. I don't know if that makes
sense. That's what they call it. A letter of acknowledgement.
Yes.
So it means that we understand we're, the basically the process and virtually that doesn't mean you have to agree with the process.
Sure.
So that's up to you.
If I'm hearing some direction correctly, it wouldn't be inappropriate for us to add to the letter our specific county concerns of the way that the process is moving forward.
I mean, it's a letter of acknowledgement, and how you feel about it, you're just acknowledging what's going on. It's a state process, and sure, if your letter is beginning to go that way anyway. And if you wanted to add something to it.
I think it's important to note here, Austin Osborne, for the record, this letter talks about certain things that we want to say. It acknowledges that's what the go-ahead letter asks for.
Right.
But it does mention in here, we're welcome to speak during public comment portion. And that means the one at the end and the beginning of the meeting. It says that. It does say in here, substantial county resources are going to be needed to provide the staffing, the EMS, sheriff, fire, and other resources in order to respond to both of the gigafactories. It states in here that, yeah, there's great positive things with the gigafactory to the region. That is something that is explained even in the white paper, that there's outputs occurring from the factory. And it explains here that we are, poised to look at handling another one as we do with our other companies. And I think the last sentence is Story County enduring nearly 10 years of 100% tax abatements from Gigafactory 1 may need to rely on anticipated post-abatement property tax revenues and potentially other revenues from the first factory to pay for the second factory and to do other things needed in order to respond to its needs. Whether it's administrative space or roads or whatever, there are elements of this paper that would be on the record if there was to move forward. That's all I have.
Well, and there's that, excuse me, Ann Langer, district attorney, where you can show up to the meeting and at these public comments, make your concerns. You can write your letter that is your general idea of how you feel about things. And then as far as your concerns go, you can show up to the public comment and make a public statement, correct?
I understand. Yeah.
Yes. That's our understanding of the process.
Wonderful. Thank you. I'm going to call a very quick 5-minute recess. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Thank you.